This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're joined in studio by America's Tim Cornette.
Hi!
Thanks for coming back, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me. I don't have any pressing engagements this time.
Well, thank
goodness. I double checked.
I know you're at Hilarities tonight, so I made sure we're not booking it like right up against that. So, Tim, why do you hate hitting dogs?
It should be pretty obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a question. Like, why do you hate hitting dogs? I don't know.
It's not as obvious as you would think in dog world. It's all broken down into carrot and the stick. Some people are like carrot and the stick. Some people are all carrots. Some people are
only the stick.
They are all stick, and they are, and you know, you're passionate about it. And what I was thinking today is that today is the Pro Bowl when we're recording this.
Yep.
And Michael Vick, despite millions of signatures, still plays. And he's had a football career.
Yeah.
After the fact. After dog fight. He murdered so many dogs. I think he was found with 42 dogs. He did things like cut their lips off. He nailed them to the door.
Jesus.
Like, the losers of these, like, dog fighting is really brutal, to say nothing of the world around dog fighting. And he got another chance. And weirdly enough, and this is where this all kind of chaps my ass. And when I'm like, hey, this isn't right, apparently I'm some sort of sexist or racist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's because you're not being culturally competent to how dog fighting is a large part of the African American experience.
No, it's not. It's some slave shit is how it is. It really does. It goes back to slave ship entertainment, and before that, it was terrible white person entertainment. Like, why is anybody on board with this? Like,
yeah,
hey, I get being as part from a terrible culture as anybody else. Believe me when I say that. But at some point, you're like, you have to cross a line and say, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. And
well, you have to be. I mean, like, to continue to do that, you have to be a psychopath. Like,
apparently not.
I don't understand, like, you know, people are like, oh, he served his time. Like, no, fuck that. Like, yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to get away with that and still have a career after the fact.
He shouldn't have such a spectacular career in the public eye, I think. I'm not a football fan, so
sure.
That's where I can't get it. Why do you put football first? It even beyond dog fighting. Why do you put it beyond, like, why are rapists, wife beaters, What other crimes are going on in the NFL right now? Drug smugglers, like...
Yeah. I mean, murderers. The fucking... Yeah. What's his name?
Yeah.
They put the... The guy from New England. I can't
remember. Aaron Hernandez?
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, like, you're just harboring criminals at this point to watch them play games. And I don't get why that's more important than all these other factors.
Well, the justice system says that you have served your time and now you go back into the community. Well, this is their community, unfortunately. It's, you know, they play football. So, like, if they can still play football, then, like,
that's important then?
That's the end game then, is to try to reintegrate them after they have done their time. And so, you know, Vic did his time and somebody signed him.
Yeah.
And
Pittsburgh, who also signed all the other wife beaters and rapists. So at the very least, stay out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, I can confirm.
Actually, you know, you think about it, you should just stay out of the AFC North. Like, Baltimore had Ray Rice. Pittsburgh had Ben Roethlisberger. Cincinnati, I mean, Andy Dalton looks like a fucking...
Well, they also had Vontaze Burfict for forever and the dirtiest player of all time. But also Cincinnati is garbage.
Yeah.
It's a terrible city. But yeah, it's, and then you have Cleveland, who we have Kareem Hunt.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. AFC North's bad.
Yeah. I mean, and people will overlook anything, and I just don't get the importance of football to where you'll, cause you are, if you're buying a ticket and you're wearing a jersey, you are co-signing this behavior. Like, I like comic books. I wouldn't buy a comic book from a dog fighter, no matter how great. Like, if Alan Moore came by tomorrow and was like, Alan Moore murdered 43 dogs, I'd be like,
I'm selling my Swamp Thing comic books.
Yeah, like, that's the end of Watchmen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, do you buy Frank Miller books?
No, not really.
I think he's kind of overrated, to be honest with you.
You know, but at least Frank Miller books seem, his books match up with his opinions.
Agreed. Yeah, 100%.
There's consistency there. So if you like Frank Miller's crazy opinions, you'll love Martha Washington Goes to War.
Exactly. But it's, you know, as far as dogfighting in the NFL goes, I think the thing that people were calling you a racist about is, again, that he did his time and was he supposed to do. And if this were like, what's a traditional?
How does that make him a racist?
Well, if it was a white guy that had been dog fighting.
See, now that's a huge assumption.
Yeah. This is what people are assuming because, you know, dog fighting is a traditionally, you know, an African American pastime.
Oh boy, that can't be. Like that
The people that I knew that were involved in dog fighting were not African American.
Yeah, same. I mean, I didn't know they lived two doors down from where I used to live, and they were dog fighters. They were white.
Yeah, it's almost like
you just have to be a scumbag piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't get the defense of it. I don't.
Nah.
Like, and I don't get it over football. One local comic was like, why should I have to suffer because of, it was John Bruton. He's okay with having the worst opinions on record, apparently.
I mean, can confirm.
I like John.
But. And that's three fat, balding white guys laughing about that.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He has terrible opinions, but like... Yeah, it's the way that he put it when I posted something about it online is, why should I be made to suffer? I can't remember. Something he would suffer by not watching football.
In place of the
dogs. And then my other point that I have to bring up is, what about fucking OJ? OJ was found innocent. From a legal point of view, OJ is more innocent than Michael Vick is. And now OJ is not allowed to even touch a fucking football? Fuck you. The NFL has done the math on how many dogs is the equivalent of your ex-wife and her waiter. And it's more than 43.
Yeah, apparently.
And there is no way that Nicole Brown Simpson was worth 43 dogs. If you put it, would you rather save Nicole Brown Simpson or would you rather save 43 dogs? I'm sorry, I'm going to save 43 dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what is that called? You know, the needs of many outweigh the needs of few or whatever.
Or the one.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that's a controversial statement. Some people will be like, I'll kill a million dogs to save one person. And as a matter of fact, that's science. Actually, that's the entire science approach. It kills a million dogs in order to save one person.
Man, I don't know. It's people just like to pick their battles when it comes to shit like that. I think, you know, I would like to think that, you know, John is just being a ne'er-do-well when it comes to opinions like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not actually mad at John. And don't Don't call John a dog murderer. He's a good guy. He loves having terrible opinions.
He really does.
People are weird about dogs. They're weird about dogs. I was just listening to a training thing on the way over here from a longtime dog trainer that says not hitting your dog is morally wrong. Dogs need discipline, he says, and to not provide that is wrong.
So that's the only kind of discipline they can understand is hitting them?
Well, I say hitting. They'll say prong collars. They'll say shock collars. And these things work on different degrees. But when you put it in the average hillbilly's hands, it's pretty much, is it hitting a dog or is it not hitting a dog?
Hmm. So it's like, you know, it's what's the difference? What's the difference between a shock collar and a switch?
There's not much.
So
a switch you don't have to charge up.
Hey, I was going to say electricity is the only one I can really think of.
And like, you know, and there's some people that use the shock collar. It can have real low settings. So it's
right.
Like, so if you're using it, like it weirds the dog out. That's not my preferred methods, but like some people do that. And some people will tell you straight out, you want to send that dog to the moon. Like, like if that dog is misbehaving, send a bunch of electricity through that dog's jaw.
Well, what's the you know, there's always, because there are people that like won't beat their kids or their dogs, and the theory behind that is that if you associate your, you know, your rules with pain, it fucks up something in their head. You know, sometimes will lead to fun times, like, you know, having an older person that's really into spanking. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they just carry it on to where, you know, they can only enforce their point of view with violence. So is that similar to what goes on in a dog's brain where it's like, well, you know, the only way I know if something is wrong is because this hurts. So where does the dog brain take that?
Well, that's kind of it. You just don't know because it's hard to get a dog into an MRI machine. Mm-hmm. So to a dog's point of view, if you're hitting it and it doesn't understand and it's not doing the right thing, chances are from that dog's point of view, you're just hitting it randomly. Much like an abused child. Like, who knows what's going to set off this psychopath?
Yeah. So what's a, you know, have you like taken in a dog that has been hit and like seen a differing behavior? And like, I can't say there's no such thing as a normal dog, but you know, there's a definite signs that this dog has been hit.
Every dog will respond differently. Honestly, there is no surefire signs, just like there is with people. Like you don't really know until you know, and dogs can't talk. You know, a lot of surefire signs is like, you know, do they cower in front of you? Are they completely scared of people? Do they, you know, are they just not acting right? But those aren't necessarily, that's actually what's kind of insidious. It's the crime you can get away with every time because, you know, your victim doesn't speak.
So right.
You can kick a dog all the live long day and who's going to know?
Because, I mean, animal cruelty is a fucking crime. It's punishable, right?
Yeah, but then, like, who's going to charge you, you know? It is, but then, like, again, it's varying degrees.
Like, I mean, like, if a cop sees you beating a fucking dog,
it's still your property.
That's fucked up.
And a cop's probably going to high-five
you. Here, take this nightstick. Yeah.
I'll show you how to beat a dog. Good job on that violence, citizen.
I noticed you enjoy beating dogs. How would you like to come with me and I'll show you how to beat something even better than a dog?
Here's your badge.
Nice form.
No, you want to hit him in the back of the leg.
You should have seen this guy hit a dog. He's the best I've ever seen. This kid's got more raw talent than anybody.
You could all take notes.
Midichlorians are off the scale.
Gonna turn out to be a real piece of shit. He's gonna be perfect.
Yeah. The dog was yelping and I was like, hey, stop beating that dog. But this guy's like, I don't care. He just kept on going. Pure art.
To be honest with you, the barking wasn't even bothering me. But once he started hitting him, I felt like I had to get in on that. I hadn't seen a person today, so.
I just instinctively went and destroyed the press's cameras.
I'm like, I arrested them.
Yeah.
We beat them in the back of the car.
Yeah, that dog's in jail right now.
Oh, fucker.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I left my body cam on. You got to see this.
We'll delete it after. We'll save it on your hard drive. That's in my head, that's how the police work.
Yes.
And I honestly feel like I'm probably accurate.
Yeah, no, you're not far off.
Oh, that's terrible.
So what, you know, it is confusing because, you know, I was always taught to give a dog a swat on the booty.
I was too, and it's like, but we were... Look at how many other things the people that taught us got wrong. Especially in regards to violence and when and where it is applied.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Vietnam and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that didn't work very well.
Yeah, you know, and there's just been a lot of new science and a lot of new thought, and just parallel to like spanking your kids, like the arguments around that. That no matter how many arguments or how many scientific studies, they're like, no, this seems to be a bad idea. Half the kids are getting traumatized and the other half are getting boners. Let's stop this. And there's still people that are like, no, it's the right way. It's the way that I was taught.
I feel like it's more applicable to like corporal punish a child than a dog.
Yeah, because a child is more capable of understanding the lesson.
Yeah, you can explain, not that I was not beat as a child or anything. Like, I was, you know, reprimanded, whatever. I mean, I can probably count on both hands how many times I was beat in my life, which is very, very few. But, like, a parent, even though it's weird, like, to say it out loud, like, a parent can explain to you, hey, this is why I'm going to do this, because you did this, you know, like... reaction, but like a dog cannot understand that.
See, and then going back to the shock collar thing, even if somebody does spank their child, they're a spoil the rod, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child type, you know, they still don't beat their children with electricity.
Just that term, beating someone with electricity.
I have seen somebody get beaten with electricity.
Luke Skywalker.
Well, there is that.
Unlimited power!
Yeah. No.
That would make e-collar training okay. That's what you said.
Yeah. Unlimited power! Feel the power of the dark side, biscuits! What? Like, who names their dogs Biscuits and then beats the fucking dog?
Got to put a little gravy with them biscuits.
Emperor Puppeteen would be a great like dog trainer name.
I like that a lot. Sheer. Feed me your hate. Oh, that's too
This
funny.
Is a Wookiee. This is the bad person.
Yeah, if you think about it, the Empire, I mean, they did put shock collars on Wookiees and beat that, so it's kind of the same thing. Yeah,
that's actually a very good point. They did put shock collars on Wookiee. Nobody has ever made that parallel before, I think.
You give me something, I will equate Star Wars to it in one way or another.
Yeah, that's really funny. Half Wookiee, half poodle.
That would be a weird looking fucking dog.
That's because they didn't put the shot collar on Wookiee in time. Saw that poodle.
He fucked a poodle.
A wookadoodle.
I can't.
Let the wookadoodle win.
Do it. Oh, man.
Yeah, I've only seen a shot collar used once. And it was during the show that I did at the Rialto Theater in Akron. It was a game show, and
Ricky's show,
yeah, the dirty game show. Ricky put a shot. Ricky put a shot collar on.
How on brand.
Ricky put a shot collar on Chris Harvey, a 350-pound comedian, and made him do the electric slide. And every time they said it's electric, they hit the shot collar.
Jesus fuck.
But it was hilarious because, like, Chris is so big and his neck fat is so, like, immense that it, like, barely shocked him.
I should interview him about that. Like, he should be the one that should be, like, here right now.
The expert.
Yeah.
You've been hit with a shot collar.
Yeah, at high voltage.
It didn't hurt that bad. It'd be fine if you do it to a dog.
It was just like, it barely affected him. He's just like, ow. Kept going.
I can't picture Chris Harvey hitting a dog, so.
No, I can't picture him bending down far enough to hit a dog.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so famous. And he's going to come back and just be a dick to us all.
Yeah.
He would get shock collared.
I mean, for comedic purposes, not on a dog, on a human, obviously. I don't see a problem with shock collars there.
There's a product called Pavlok, which is like a, it's like a Fitbit that gives you a little tingle if you, like, try and smoke or, like.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
I saw it on Shark Tank.
Okay. So it makes sense then.
You know, from my point of view, and a lot of, like, dog trainers don't view things through the viewpoint that, like, a comedian would. They all come from, like, the military or, like, martial arts, which is also very similar to dog training.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that it's, like, if you come from those, it's, like, pain is where lessons come from. And it's not like that's not true of stand-up comedy, but you just have a different approach. You don't get the audience to laugh by waving machete around. Like,
And trust me, I've tried. I have tried. I have also, like, beat somebody with a race car track on stage to try to get laughs.
See, Jeremy... Had it been a baseball bat, people would have laughed. A race car track is too real. much trauma.
I get that a lot. What you're saying is true, real Jeremy. No, it's. I don't think we had a wiffle ball bat that time. But I saw the race car track and I was like, yes, I'm definitely going to beat somebody with this.
Oh, race car track. The star of many a dysfunctional family business. What's great about it is that you were so excited when you first got it.
The race car track. It's always the first thing you grab. Yeah.
You're like, oh, race car track. What fun I'm going to have with this. Poor idiot child. Finally, something's working out.
A present for you and dad.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Dad got a bottle of scotch. Thanks, Uncle Randy.
Hide the race car track.
Yeah. That's why kids play video games nowadays. You can duck a controller.
Yeah. And a parent who spent $60 on a controller is probably not going to throw it.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm trying to think if I've ever...
A controller you're going to get hit with once at most.
Yeah.
It leaves the hand. The race car track stays there.
Yeah.
That's why they're all wireless now. Because it is...
Some poor schlub was like, we really got to take the cords off these things, man.
Oh,
I think I know the next thing I'm going to beat somebody with.
Yeah,
I've got this USB cable.
pistol whipped by the Duck Hunt gun.
With the Nintendo Power Glove on.
Yeah. And that dog just stands there laughing at me while I cry.
How do you like it, motherfucker? Oh, shit.
Oh.
Smother somebody with a dance pad.
You just roll their dead corpse.
As much as I've used, well, she's got all the accessories that I had.
I just like this idea of using video game accessories to beat children with.
Well, now it's part of the game. Oh, Dad, you scored 150 points.
That's why the Super Scope was taken off the market. It was too big.
That's why the Wii controllers aren't, or the Switch controllers aren't connected anymore. Because Dad were using them as nunchucks and just fucking whacked the kid.
How many? That actually shows you how little child abuse goes on that you can call a toy the Switch. No, no kid even like bats an eye.
Yeah. Things have gotten better.
Yeah. Are you guys getting the Sony ass beating?
Yeah, now kids are like Nintendo Switch, huh? Well, what if I'm in a dominating mood today, Nintendo Switch?
Don't make me go get the Switch. And the kids are like, okay.
You're going to get the Switch? You're getting a Switch. The Sony ass beating. I'm getting the Microsoft reprimand today. I'm more of a Sony guy myself, but...
the Microsoft reprimand seems like it's something else.
Well, I mean, have you seen the box that they're coming out with now? I mean, you could probably fuck somebody up with that box.
That's...
Well, like a new system?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It looks like a brick. It looks like I'd be giving somebody an Xbox reprimand as a message. I got a new gaming system through my front window. Says get out of town on it.
Why is there a swastika on the Microsoft reprimand?
This is how I'm going to get my new gaming systems. Like,
just come through your window.
Yeah. Well, no. If people can figure out a way to be anti-Semitic and give me stuff, I'm all for it.
The PS Jew.
God damn it.
Wow, that challenge was answered. Next contender!
Like Taron Killam on SNL. Next! Oh, God. How do we went from hitting dogs to now hitting children with fucking gaming accessories.
Well,
I'm okay with it. I'm not upset about it.
Back in the Atari days, you know, those joysticks turned upside down are just hammers.
Can confirm.
Or something to shove up your ass.
Well, I... Look, have you ever tried to play Space Invaders with the joystick up your ass and you're just moving around on the floor?
No, but I would pay money to watch you do it.
Would you? Because, Tim, you run video game theme shows.
I don't know if you guys have a Patreon, but that sounds like special content to me.
Jeremy plays Pac-Man.
And he is Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Oh.
For $5 a month, you can spit on the controller.
In the fine print, but you have to be subjected to testing first.
I'll get hepatitis for $5. Tell Devin to do it.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. I'm spent already.
So, if you can't hit your dog, you can't get the whole, like, pain is a learning experience thing for a dog. How do they know that they're doing something wrong?
Okay. This is going to be complicated. You tell them no.
Wait a minute.
Go on.
Say you tell them no, and they're not doing, and they're not responding. Like, say they're eating out of the trash. You're laying on the couch and watching TV, probably YouTube. Probably just got done masturbating.
Mm-hmm. I know. My dog eats out of the trash whenever I'm done masturbating.
Because they know you're going to be there for a minute.
Yeah.
So the dog's eating out of the trash. So you say, no. And the dog doesn't stop eating out of the trash. So what I, as a positive person, like a positive trainer, which I use that loosely, I'll get back to that in a second. I'll say no, and the dog doesn't listen to me. So I'll get up, and I'll get in between the dog and the trash can and say, hey, stop that. And that usually works. And I'll just, if the dog goes back to the trash can after that, I'll say, hey, I just told you no. And then that usually works. And then I'll just keep repeating that until the dog gets, hey, he's not supposed to go into the trash can.
Fair enough. And you train dogs.
And so. I train dogs. This is my living. Yeah. What another person would do would be like, hey, stop eating out of the trash. And the dog says, no, I'm going to keep eating on the trash. What the other person says is, well, that's a direct challenge to me, and that will not pass. So that's when you shock it, hit it with a good squeeze, the prong collar, chase it with an axe, whatever you do. A lot of the modern, like, really harsh end of dog training, it all actually goes back to the original trainer of Homeward Bound, the 60s movie with the pit bull and I think it's a golden retriever and a cat.
Yeah.
They went through, like, 47 versions of each animal on that movie.
Jesus Christ.
Tons of animals died.
I never knew that.
Oh, in the original version, not the remake.
That wouldn't have flown in the 90s, I don't think.
No, that did not fly in the 90s. But, like, the cat, like, they lost a bunch of cats in the, like, in the that scene where the cat was, like, caught in the middle of the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost a bunch of cats
Oh,
there.
Jesus.
lost a bunch of cats.
Why couldn't they just lose Roseanne?
You know, PETA had already established itself by that. But the guy who trained all those animals was named, his name was Colner, and, like, it's called the Colner method, and it's whatever your dog disagrees with you, you pretty much set it alone adrift to sea all by itself. Like, whatever,
that's not training anything.
Whatever, if your dog disobeys you,
get another one.
Yeah, just bring down the hammer of Thor. Like,
God.
A retarded dog listens better than a willful dog. And that has persisted for generations.
Wow.
Now. It's now 50 years after the fact, and people are still like, still citing the classics. Can't go with an unbeat dog.
So, all right, you've said a couple. All right, so like you said, like, military guys will train dogs.
Guys will train dogs, and those do tend to be with harsher methods.
And that's what I was going to ask. Like, what kind? I can't imagine they're, like, hitting fucking people's dogs.
No, well, they're dogs, and they're not, like, it's different. They're a different breed of dogs. Those people do know what they're doing, and more importantly, those dogs are also Marines. So it's, like, it's okay to treat a Marine like a Marine, but you don't come home and treat your children like Marines.
Yeah.
Because that's why your children hate you. You Marines out there. It's just a different expectation, you know?
Sure.
Police dogs have a different expectation than pet dogs do, but there's also not too many police dogs that go back and double as family dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen. There's variations and degrees, but for the most part, you know, those dogs are about the work and nothing else.
Yeah.
Much like police humans.
Yeah.
Not good in a family environment.
No, not at all.
Can't argue with that.
Does it... So, like, part Part of police training, I'm assuming, is they just get swatted about the head and face enough to where they just take that home.
Yeah, it's actually somebody in a dummy suit. They're like, come and attack me. And you just keep getting hit with a stick until you don't, until you learn to love the game.
Until you learn to love the game.
Come here. Why? I'm going to hit you.
Hit you until you love it.
And then the dog got a boner.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're like, you're trained now. Yeah. Congratulations. That's graduation day.
Hey, cool dick. Yeah.
That was the subtitle to Police Academy 6.
I thought it was Polly's Academy.
We were doing so good.
I couldn't help myself. Tim, come here and hit me until I like it. Somebody. Don't get weird if it seems like I'm pretending I don't for a while. Oh, shit.
I think I'm going to get Jordan to shock up.
Puns?
I will say, just on the opposite end of things, there is the crowd that is too nice to dogs. And this is called purely positive dog training. And then anything that is not directly complimenting the dog is dog abuse. They're very, it's like Scientology, but all about dog training. It's very creepy.
So like how most people raise their, well, not maybe most, but a lot of people raise their kids now. Like, you know, everybody gets a trophy and, you know.
You know, people say that everybody gets a trophy, but I've never seen that. I think all rich kids get a trophy.
Yeah.
But oh, of course rich kids get a participation trophy. They're the ones allowed to participate.
They're white.
Yeah, like I've never gotten a participation trophy.
No, neither have I. But I mean, like I've seen it happen. Like I've seen like cousins of mine be on a baseball team or something and they don't win a game, but they get a trophy at the end. Like, oh, you get a trophy for sucking now. Okay, cool. You're not any good.
I mean, it's baseball. Who gives a shit?
Yo, fair. No. Fair enough.
I just don't care about this.
But like
everybody
what you said,
gets
purely
a,
positive. I don't. I think that's a bad way to do.
I
things.
Do need to point out that this room. I'm looking at an R2-D2 toy. I'm looking at Star Wars toys. I'm looking at another Stormtrooper toy. I would say that these are, in fact, trophies dedicated to Sunny.
Oh, man. That was too on point. Tim's never allowed to come over my house and see my wrestling room.
Those are definitely trophies that are dedicated to sucking.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to have those big, heavy, like, rubber wrestling
LJN guys. Figures.
Yeah, like, my mom worked with a guy. She bought them all as a complete set with a wrestling ring and everything.
That'd be worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, I know. And I had them all. I wasn't even a wrestling fan, really.
You just had, my uncle had all the original, you know, 70s, 80s Star Wars figures.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather threw them out in, like, 89. Like everything, like, and like he had all of it. You know how much that would be today?
Yeah, you know, but that's, you can't really blame him because you're like, why would I want this shit in my house? Mm-hmm. It's plastic garbage and dedicated to a fake religion.
And my grandpa's a Jehovah's Witness too, so it's like, hey, this is space magic. Get it out of here.
I mean, they tell you now that you're supposed to hang on to things like that because, you know, people will be chasing their past and pay a lot of money for it. But
although,
you know,
ironically, everything produced now will not have no value because everybody held on to it.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to comics.
Yeah. Or in trading cards, except nobody ever really liked those aside from like five people. Baseball cards.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
I remember when it was a thing.
Yeah, as soon as people like told you to hang on to it, it no longer had any value.
Beanie Babies.
Yeah, Beanie Babies are a great example of like a false, like a false market.
You remember like when there was like magazines like telling you how much this one's worth at that time? Now they're all worth nothing.
Well, you know, the guy who created Beanie Babies, like whatever his name is, he...
I always called him Ty.
Yeah, Ty Beanie Baby. Howard J. Beanie Baby. He created a lot of the scarcity just because he was like such a weirdo, like, and like kind of a perfectionist about things. So okay. Oh, this elephant, I'm going to change the color on it, even though it's like out in production. So instead of saying, hey, I'm discontinuing it, he said, hey, we're retiring that one.
Yeah.
And then just gave it a new color. So really, with one change, instead of discontinuing this stupid elephant, we're retiring this stupid elephant and then re-releasing it in a slightly different shade of blue. And that created its, and like, it was the first Bitcoin. Like,
yeah. Beanie Babies is cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
I wish that there would be people like in their basements on sewing machines, like mining their Beanie Babies. Like, you can now pay for McDoubles with your Beanie Babies.
You know, McDonald's, all they have to do is just say that. And yeah. Beanie Babies will have.
Well, the funny thing is McDonald's did, you know, they had little mini Beanie Babies as toys.
So I believe they were called teeny Beanie Babies.
Were they?
Yeah. They sure were.
That's the new currency at McDonald's. Yeah. We want all of our fucking teenies back.
If you were born in 88, you might not remember. People thought at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
There were news stories. Like, people had it out over the Beanie Babies. There was such Beanie Baby fever. Allow me to correct myself. Teeny Beanie Baby fever.
It was a goddamn nightmare. And there was my sister's ex-husband's mother had like a curio case full of Beanie Babies, including the teeny Beanie Babies.
See, this, okay, and again, I'm going to put this back to dogs. So you expect yourself to be like this crazy higher life form when you just fucking got into a fight over a Beanie Baby?
Right.
A dog would do that exact same thing. That's my Beanie Baby! That's the one that I like! I fucking hate you! That's my Beanie Baby! And I value it more than anything!
You need to turn that into a bit. If anybody saw you doing that on stage, they'd die. It's my fucking Beanie Baby! Just put your
people try and like come over and like to like, oh, is this your Beanie Baby? Don't you fucking touch my Beanie Baby. Nobody touches my teeny Beanie Babies.
Don't hit dogs, people. What the fuck's wrong with dogs. You?
You're not that much better than them. No.
That's so primal to fight over a fucking toy.
Yeah.
Not even like a good toy. Just a little.
We're not really that far. I was watching this Jane Goodall documentary. Okay. It was on her, but not one of the original like documentaries, but it was like over her whole life. So they showed. She followed this one tribe, pride, whatever, grouping of monkeys. This whole group of monkeys revolved around this.
Barrel of monkeys, I believe.
A barrel of monkeys, that's correct. This whole barrel of monkeys, like, their entire social structure revolved around this, like, aged, elderly matriarch monkey. Like, she was, like, grandmother monkey. And she died. Which split this group of monkeys into two groups. One took the south of the territory and one took the north of the territory. The northern monkeys tended to be the more aggressive monkeys.
Are you sure you're not talking about Korea?
I'm talking about monkeys. The north monkeys were the aggressive ones. The southern monkeys tended to be just more chill and just, you know, got along better. The northern monkeys could not tolerate the existence of the southern monkeys, and they came down and they slaughtered all of them.
Who was once formerly their family? Well, they were family.
They were once family.
Wow.
And this is within the span of a monkey's lifetime.
Good Lord. Yeah, we're not so far like moved us. From... Yeah, that's primal shit.
That's primal shit. We do a lot more primal shit than than you think.
Yeah, it's all very, like, there's some things we've just not advanced on.
Yeah.
Like, it's stuck in there and ingrained, and it's not okay.
I spend a lot of time thinking about this, because I'm like, because all of society is pretty much just dog trading humans. Ding! Time to cross. Bong! Time to stop. And then if you get a person from a country and, like, drop them in the middle of, like, downtown Cleveland even, which isn't even that busy, then people are like, what do I do? Where do I step? I don't know the rules! They try and pee everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When I worked downtown delivering pizzas, I saw a homeless person just taking a shit right in the middle of the street. Well, in the middle of the sidewalk, I'm sorry, not the street. But
yeah.
It was just like, you know, it was like one of the parts of town that's, you know, not highly populated.
And that's
it was
called
just,
Cleveland.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, wow, it's 4:30 in the afternoon and you're just, okay, all right, just keep driving, deliver
the good
pizza.
News is homeless people are eating.
Yeah, if they're shitting, they're eating.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the bright side.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the bright side.
Well, you have to understand, Jordan, when you smoke enough crack... You don't really care, like, who sees what's going on with your bathroom habits.
Does crack help you poop or hurt your poop?
I would imagine it would make it go, like...
Well, like, you smoke crack, like, all morning. And then, like, you're out of crack, so you're wandering around the neighborhood looking for crack. Looking for more crack, and you have to shit immediately. It's time to shit.
Okay.
Like, there's... It's just...
It's either going on your pants or on the sidewalk. Is basically what you're saying.
And it's harder to get crack when you've got shit in your pants.
Well, say you're doing okay and you just, like, you just enjoy crack. You've got a job and you've got some crack.
Functional crackhead.
You're a functional crackhead.
Yeah.
Is crack... Can you, like, sit on the toilet and enjoy a nice bowl of crack while you go to the bathroom?
I mean, I haven't... Really?
Let me stop real quick. Jeremy Shear is the perfect person to ask that question to because you'd be the guy who would smoke crack while taking a shit.
I've got things to do.
Namely, go find more crack.
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke this crack while I'm taking a shit so I can get everything done and feel okay with myself. But now I've smoked too much crack and wiping my ass feels too good. So now I gotta jerk off.
But I just smoke crack works.
But then I smoke crack.
I've done cocaine and I've never felt that way before.
Wow, you just made crack sound great.
Wait, I get to finger my asshole and jerk off?
Let the hate flow through you. Brought to you by crack. It's what's for dinner.
You need a toilet snack? Try some crack.
Ah!
You ever thought to yourself, you know what? I would like my drugs way more if they made shitting an experience.
Well, I mean, and, you know, like, that's the thing is, like, that's why you're, like, you talk to people more about, like, smoking crack. It's like, opiates are going to make you not poop. So you got to smoke crack if you want to take a shit.
It's kind of balance them out.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just a normal, well, you're not normal, but you're a normal person.
I can tell you that a very good friend of mine was a functional... cocaine user, and they did not shit more than once every 3 months.
That would give you like sepsis.
Somehow they managed.
Okay.
They were very thin.
Well, then you would think that like crack would do the same thing then.
Yeah. It
means- well, sometimes it's cooked with baby laxatives. So it's, you know, you get a little bit of the urge.
The urge to purge.
Yeah.
Well, see, if you're a regular cocaine user, I would get some baby laxative crack just to keep things moving.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're a regular cocaine user, though, is smoking crack like the equivalent of like when you like smoke resin out of a marijuana bowl? Does it feel dirty like that?
No, because it's like it's really intense.
I've heard people describe crack before, but like
it's super intense. It doesn't last as long, but like you don't get the.
I know we titled this "Don't Hit Dogs," but like this, you should seriously title this "What Crack Is Like."
I think we should change the name of the podcast.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Imagine you're sucking a dick, but it comes euphoria in your mouth. That's what smoking crack is like.
That's how I describe Milky Way candy bars.
Well, the consistency is more in line with what I was going for there, yes.
Oh, that's priceless. Oh. No. So, dogs.
Don't let your dog smoke crack.
Yeah, don't. Just like you're not supposed to, like, blow weed in your dog's face, don't blow crack smoke in your dog's face.
Mm. Oh, I knew a guy that I thought this was really funny because I was high. But he would call his dog over and then, like, hold his dog's mouth shut and blow smoke directly into his dog's nostrils so it sounded like a water bong. Mm. And then the dog would cough and then walk away.
Yeah, don't do that, guys.
Like, because if you, like, when you get high, like, say, you know, you get high, you get paranoid or whatever, you can kind of gain your faculties back. Like, a dog wouldn't know what the fuck is happening to it.
There's no consent there, so that's, like, kind of problem number one.
Yeah.
They don't metabolize marijuana the same way we do, so it's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
I feel, and this is what I think. I don't know if this is actually true. I feel like a 20-year-old today is much less likely to do that than our generation of
Agreed.
Scumbags.
Agreed.
They're just better people.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. So at least I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's...
There's shitheads everywhere.
They're out there, and I know that's happening, but I think...
The majority.
Yeah.
What about beer?
We used to give it to our buddy, my roommate's dog, and it was funny because he would, like, circle pit around the bowl and he enjoyed it, but, like, it's not okay.
Right.
It is still wrong.
Well, you remember when we got Lola, she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
She would seek it out.
Oh,
when,
really?
When I first got Lola, yeah, she would, like, whenever a beer would spill.
Like, oh, I want that.
She would do that. She would do, like, the circle.
And yeah, she would circle around.
Oh, good. Time for beer. And we got her away. Yeah, I mean, we got her away from
you. Weaned her off.
Yeah, we weaned her off. But, like, it was a pretty clear indicator of what had gone on before.
Gotcha.
And, you know, dogs aren't made for that kind of good time.
No. Yeah. So, you know, at AA for dogs, do they get an owner to sponsor a dog, or do they have sober dogs that are, like, twitchy? I'm an alcoholic.
The tremors, like,
you're like, sit, stay, share.
My name is Scruffy, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Scruffy.
I just got so into chasing the dragon, everything else fell to the wayside.
You know, booze was bad, but when I really got on the crack from my friend Jeremy.
Crack dog.
Crack dog.
Crack dog.
I'll suck your dick for $30. I thought crack was cheaper than that. I need something for my dog.
We got habits. Oh, jeez.
I got his.
See, what kind of tricks can you get out of your dog for crack?
My dog can jump through a hoop. My dog fixed my car.
I gave him some meth, told him take the weekend. I'm driving.
My mind just overloaded with every BET comic reference. like just every crackhead, like, uncle joke that I've ever heard is just, like, came to the forefront. Crackhead uncle. Everybody's got a crackhead uncle.
My dad was the crackhead uncle.
Crack daddy.
I'm the crackhead uncle to most people's kids now.
Just most people in general.
Yeah. So, Tim, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at lifecoachfordogs.com. I'm a Cleveland-priced dog trainer. I do keep it very positive. So if you're having issues with your dog, please seek me out. I uh, I do a tool-free methods. It's all around communication and building a relationship with you and your dog. Other than that, I'm also a comedian, and you can see me all around town. I'm a dog comedian, which I am this close to making that my like tag and hanging up my, my photo at the Funny Stop.
America's Tim Cornette, dog comedian.
Yeah.
It's a, to me, dog median says you put on a McGruff the crime dog suit, and that's how you bang joke chuckle fuckers.
I just steal Rover Dangerfield's ass.
Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates hitting dogs as much as Tim Cornette.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.